ಅರಣ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಯಾದ್ವೈತಗದಾಧರ ಶಿವ ಸರಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ.
ವಾಸುದೇವ ಆನ್ಸರ್ಡ್, ಓ ಬುಲ್ ಅಮಂಗ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಮೆನ್, Swayamvar hath been ordained for the marriage of Kshatriyas, but that is doubtful in its consequences. O Partha, as we do not know the girl's temper and disposition. Right, Krishna is playing, how you say? He knows that, as if he doesn't know, you know, like that. In the case of Kshatriyas that are brave, a forcible abduction for purposes of marriage is applauded, as the learned have said. Therefore, O Arjuna, carry away this my beautiful sister by force, for who knows what she may do at a self-choice. Right. We know from the Bhagavatam that, you know, Subhadra is very interested in, how do you say, in Arjuna. Because Krishna then, he came up and asked her, says, you know, yeah, you know, your marriage is coming up and everything, and Duryodhana, I mean, Balaram's thinking to marry you to Duryodhana, you know, so what do you think of that? And so she would make a funny face. You know, but I also heard, you know, Arjuna was in town and he was very interested to marry you. What do you think of that? And it's kind of like, you know, yeah, okay, now we're talking, you know, like this. But Krishna, for, you know, for taste in that, then plays the part as if he doesn't know. Then Krishna and Arjuna, having thus settled as what should be done, sent some speedy messengers under Yudhishthira at Indraprastha, informing him of everything. The strong-armed Yudhishthira, as soon as he heard it, gave his assent to it. Right. So even though he's going to do something like this, he's still taking the assent of his elder brother. Right. Because that's the point, is when things are done under authority, then the whole system works very nicely. Because as we were mentioning yesterday, you're bringing together two families. So you want to make sure that it's going to work. So Krishna's into it. So that's one family like that. You know, Balarama we'll see is not as into it. And then after that, then Yudhishthira. So then there'll be no problem. Everything will work very smoothly, right? So it's not just simply the interest of the boy and the girl. It should be broader than that, because in your life you have to deal broader than that, right? It's not just the two of you, and that's all. Section 222. Vaishampayana said, then Dhananjaya informed the assent of Yudhishthira, and ascertaining, O Dhananjaya, that the maiden had gone to the Raivataka hill, obtained the assent of Vasudeva also. After having settled in consultation with him all that required to be done, then that bull of Bharata's race, that foremost of men, with Krishna's assent, riding in his well-built car of gold, equipped with rows of small bells, with every kind of weapon, and the clatter of those wheels resembled the roar of the clouds, whose splendor was like unto that of blazing fire, which struck terror into the hearts of all foes, and under which were yoked the steeds Saivya and Sugriva, himself accoutred in mail and armed with swords, his fingers encased in leathern gloves, set out, as it were, on a hunting expedition. That was one sentence. Notice here is that the thing is, the way they make the wheels is it works, but there's loose enough so that they move, but they clatter. They sound like thunder. So that's one of the things, is they take a chariot out, and the more noise it makes, the more pleased they are with it. Same time we see is that it's got all these fine little rows of bells, right? So this balance between refinement and that power, you know, is something very interesting. So it's not just that. So it's all done in gold, it's all very refined, at the same time as it strikes terror, right? So it's not, you know, it's like you having a sword, the very nice, you know, handle with jewels and everything like that. Still, it's a sword, right? So this combination between the two, this is very human. Meanwhile, Subhadra, so he's dressed up as he's going out hunting, so then no one will think twice, you know, of what he's doing. Meanwhile, Subhadra, having paid her homage under that prince of hills, Raivataka, and having worshipped the deities and made the brahmanas utter benedictions upon her, and having also walked around the hill, was coming towards Dvaravati. The son of Kunti, afflicted with the shafts of the god of desire, suddenly rushed towards that Yadava girl of faultless features and forcibly took her under his car. Having seized that girl of sweet smiles, that tiger among men proceeded in his car of gold towards his own city, Indraprastha. Meanwhile, the armed attendants of Subhadra, beholding her thus seized and taken away, all ran crying towards the city of Dwarka. Reaching altogether the Yadava court, called by the name of Sudharma, they represented everything about the prowess of Partha under the chief officer of the court. The chief officer of the court, having heard everything from those messengers, blew his gold-decked trumpet of loud blare. Calling all to arms, stirred up by that sound, the Bhojas, the Vrishnis, and the Andakas began to pour in from all sides. Those who were eating left their food, and those who were drinking left their drink. Those tiger among men, those great warriors of the Vrishni and Andaka tribes, took their seats upon their thousand thrones of gold, covered with excellent carpets, variegated with gems and corals, and possessed of the luster of blazing fire. Indeed, they took their seats upon these thrones like blazing fires receiving faggots to increase their splendor. Right? What's a faggot? Here?
Bundle of wood.
Yes, bundles of wood. Right. So one they're saying is the court itself was like fire with all the seats and all that, and then they're saying then taking the seats and the court as normal, and now the kshatriyas coming in, they're like fire. Right? So the court itself was so amazing and attractive. Right? And then the kshatriyas coming in then were even more, you know, brilliant. Right? One is, of course, as kshatriyas, but two, because now they're being called to arms, so then there's going to be very high energy. After they were seated in that court, which was like unto a conclave of the celestials themselves, the chief officer of the court, assisted by those that stood at his back, spoke of the conduct of Jishnu. You know it says here? So there's no microphone. So he'll speak with others also backing him up. Like we see Lord Chaitanya's kirtan. When they would do the kirtan, there's one main singer, and he'll have, I think, two or three backup singers that sing with him. So actually you have four people singing at once, but they're sensitive to how he's singing, so as he moves the tune, they move with him. Right? That way you don't need microphones. The proud Vrishni heroes of eyes red with wine, as soon as they heard of it, rose up from their seats, unable to brook that Arjuna had done. What's brook?
Accept.
Yeah, accept or bear. You know, they were not very pleased with that. Some amongst them said, "Yoke our cars," and some, "Bring our weapons," while others said, "Bring our costly bows and strong coats of mail." Some loudly called upon their charioteers to harness their cars, and some, from impatience, themselves yoked their horses decked with gold onto their cars. While their cars, armors, and standards were being brought, loud became the uproar of those heroes. Then Baladeva, white and tall as the peak of Kailash, decked with garlands of wild flowers, and attired in blue robes, proud and intoxicated with drink, said these words. Now, all these, they're all getting very upset. It means they're all Vrishnis and Andakas and Bhojas and that. So they're living in Dwarka. One girl from the city gets kidnapped. You understand? So, in other words, this is community. Right? Right? This is community. That she's a girl of the community. So no one messes with our community. Right? It's the concept of the girls just being, you know, on their own. Right, not being taken care of, didn't exist. Veda culture, right? Someone from there, she's our girl, we take care of her. Right? Does that make sense? So there's a very strong mood of community. That makes the girls very confident. Then being very confident, then they are able to then raise very confident children. Right? And these confident children are able to take care of others. Right? If you're confident, you can take care of others. If you're not confident, you can't. Does that make sense? That's why it's so important that the girls are confident. So Baladev said, "Ye senseless men, what are ye doing? When Janardhan and Siddhis silent," right? They're all yelling and screaming and yoking their chariots and profiling, and Vasudev just sitting there very peacefully, right? And so he himself is, you know, what are you doing? He's sitting here, why are you all getting upset? Without knowing what is in his mind, vainly do we roar in wrath. Let the high-souled Krishna give out what he proposeth, accomplish promptly what he desireth to do. Then all of them, hearing those words of Halayuda, that deserve to be accepted, exclaimed, excellent, excellent, right? So here is also another very human symptom, is that they have a determination. In other words, what a human does, he should be focused and determined. But just because he's focused and determined doesn't mean he should be stubborn, right? Determination does not mean stubbornness, right? So determination means there's focus, right? And so as you make a plan, you hear something, you do the right thing there. But then as soon as you find out there's another consideration, on the spot you change your direction. You understand? People will find comfort in that, because then they know something will get done. If you sit there, well, I don't know, let's check everything so much, then nothing happens. But it's looking at the things, it's very obvious what should be done, move with it. But as soon as you find more information comes later, it's not that you're wrong, that information wasn't there. Now we readjust again. So you don't have to say, one, you're sorry for before, and two, you don't have to, well, I don't know now. It's just as determined as you were before, now you're determined again. Does that make sense? Very important for management. Like that. Very important. Because if you don't know what you're doing, you don't move forward, people won't be very confident. Right? And as we said, the women aren't confident, relationships don't work. The citizens are like, you know, the feminine element. They're the passive element. Right? The leaders are the active element. So then because of this, then the dynamic will work. Does that make sense? Right? So that's the point, is make a decision, but don't be attached to it. If you're attached to it, that's the problem. Not that you made a decision and went forward. That you made a decision, and then when you find you should change it, you don't because of pride. That's where the problem will start. Right? Action, there's never a problem if it's properly applied. Right? Properly applied action is never a problem. But as the situation changes, the action has to change. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, as soon as they said excellent. They didn't go, what do you mean? And no, this and that. And, you know, they didn't get upset or feel embarrassed or nothing. They just said, yeah, that's a good point. So now then they just all come and sit down. Right? Very different, right? You know what I'm saying? Human life is actually very different than we conceive of it. They then all became silent. Silence having been restored by the words of the intelligent Baladev, they took their seats once more in that assembly. Then Rama, that oppressor of foes, spoke unto Vasudev, saying, why, O Janardana, sittest thou gazing silently? Right? He takes the position of speaking on behalf of everybody. Right? He's speaking for everyone's behalf. First he says, why all you're running around? He's not there. Then when he sits, then he questions, so then everybody else gets the benefit. O Achyuta, why is it for thy sake that the son Apita hath been welcomed and honored by us? It seemeth, however, that the vile wretch deserveth not our homage. What man is there, born of a respectable family, that would break the plate after having dined from it? Even if one desireth to make such an alliance, yet remembering all the services he hath received, who is there desirous of happiness, who acts so rashly? That Pandava disregarding us, and thee also, hath today outraged Subhadra, desiring to compass his own death. He hath placed his foot on the crown of my head. How shall I, O Govinda, tamely bear it? Shall I not resent it, even like a snake that is trodden upon? Alone shall I today make the earth destitute of Kauravas. Never shall I put up with this aggression by Arjuna. Then all the Bhojas, Vrishnis, and Andakas present there approved of everything that Baladev had said, deeply roaring like unto a kettle drum or the clouds. Right? So now here he's saying, why are you all yelling and screaming? Tells everyone to sit down, and then he presents why they're all yelling and screaming. You understand? See, this is very, very different. is that just because you're accepting it, you go along with it, means now, okay, let's hear what Krishna has to say, but this is what our consideration, this is what we're feeling. You know, this is why we're acting. Now, you tell us, you know, if we're wrong or what should be done. Right? Does that make sense? Very different kind. You can see this kind of discussion, one, everything's out on the table, but at the same time, out on the table, it's not coarse, it's not insensitive, and at the same time, it's very open. So it's very different. It's the balance between, you know, everybody being very, very careful and not saying the right thing, everything so perfectly politically correct and nothing getting done, or everyone's so in your face that everyone becomes insulted and then you still can't get anything done. Right? This is everything out in the open, but with proper etiquette. Right? And at the same time, is in that, because it's done with etiquette, the others also are able to properly consider, and then you come to a proper conclusion. So we see here, in basically within a few minutes, they've resolved the whole problem. Right? And this is such a major issue. Right? Within a few minutes, we see the full conversation is here. Also, now he's saying is that we received him nicely, we took care of him nicely, and having done all that, then he goes behind her back and steals one of our girls. Right? If we hadn't hosted him that, he wouldn't have been inside, he wouldn't have had the opportunity. Because who is going to be able to do anything to the Yadavas without their permission? Right? You know? So it's true, without Krishna gave permission. But, you know, this is the point, is that they took care of him nicely, and now, as a guest, so when one is hosted, one must reciprocate that nicely. One must be considerate, right? You can't just, how you say? Relationships must always be maintained. Relationships must always be established. You can't break relationships to get something done, right? Does that make sense? In other words, how does something being done happen, right? Means you have a relationship, you have some goal you want from that relationship, therefore you act in that relationship. So any activity that will get a result is based on the relationship and the desire for a result from that. Right? Means your sambandha is there, then seeing the prayojana, then there's abhideya. Right? So then if that's the case, how can you perform an abhideya that's going to break the relationship? Because the abhideya is only going to give a result that's based on the relationship. So if you break the relationship, the result will have nothing to do with the relationship. Means it will have no meaning. Right? So an action that will break relationships is not actually an action. Then it's like what Balaram said, it's rashness, it's foolishness. It may be popular, but it doesn't mean it has anything to do with human life. Does that make sense? Right? So you always have to be very considerate of the relationship. Right? Otherwise, you see Yudhishthira. Why is Yudhishthira great? Because he always considers the relationship. Dhritarashtra is taken care of them. The other elders are there. Therefore, he never goes against anything. You could say, yeah, but look what happens to him. That's what Draupadi said. She said, you know, you follow all the rules. You're in the forest. Duryodhana doesn't follow any rules, and he's the emperor of the world. So what's going on here? But at the end of the day, who was the emperor of the world and who was dead? Right? So it's just time. Right? It's just time. Section 223. So now we go into the next one. Harana Harana Parva. Oh no, it's the same. I think it's the same thing. Yeah, Subhadra Harana Parva. Oh, maybe it's just dealing with the Harana aspect. It's not. Subhadra's been taken. Vaishampayana said, when the heroes of the Vrishni race began to speak repeatedly in this strain, Vasudev uttered these words, pregnant with deep import and consistent with true morality. Gudakesha, the conqueror of sleep, or he of the curly hair. Right? Here's Arjuna's curly hair again. By what he hath done, hath not insulted our family. Right? So that's, he's making his point. That's his, that is his thesis. Right? The other one, Baladev's thesis is, he's insulted us because we've given him hospitality and respect, and he's disrespected us. by not working with us. You know, we're here, he's here, he could have asked us for the girl, why he's stealing like this. Right? And Krishna is then opening with, no, he hasn't insulted us. Right? So it's clear what he's going to speak. Right? But then he hasn't insulted us, then they'll say, how? Right? You know, understand what we were saying about a thesis. A thesis is not big enough to create a doubt. But the intellect can grab it as the point from which you're going to make all other discussions, right? So it gives you a direction. But you can't, you can say how, because he says he hasn't insulted us, but it's a matter of, well, on what term, you can't tell, right? Until you start speaking, till the second part of logic, then you expand it, then there are points that then you can, your doubt is can arise. Does that make sense? So the thesis is concise enough that it says exactly your point. It's like this, one sentence. It exactly says your point. And then the other one knows what you're talking about. But as you discuss it, then their doubts come up. Then you have your proper discussion. But then, and then when their doubt, it also has to be one sentence. Right? So you know exactly their point. Then you get to the third part of logic where you make your presentations, they make theirs, you give your examples, they theirs, and you defeat theirs, and then synthesize, you know, the two into the fourth part. Does that make sense? Right. So now Krishna is going to go through all this. He hath, without a doubt, rather enhanced our respect. Right? Now he's completely turning. This is called, you know, how you say? What do you call that? Spin. This is like the original spin doctor here, right? Kaparta knoweth that we of the Sattva, the race, are never mercenary, right? So now, never mercenary. What now? If we're talking, we're talking marriages here. What's the mercenary marriage?
Giving a lot of wealth to the other.
Yes. So that's, and then what's it called? Is that what you're going to say? Yeah. It means that's the Asura marriage. That's the Asuras do. They pay lots of money, and then in this way they get the girl. Right, it's not approved of by the Vedas, but it's better than burying them in the sand. Right, so if you're going to bury the baby girls in the sand, then better establish in your community the Asura marriage, because then you know, okay, we got a baby girl, we'll get a lot of money for a marriage. Right, then they don't do that. So, yeah, so then that they won't do because it's not approved by the Vedas. So no one who's dharmic will agree. So now you notice he's opening with something where immediately everyone's going to agree with it. Right? So his first, I mean, after making his thesis, then his first point now in giving examples is, I mean, so first he says, you know, he hasn't disrespected us. First he's, then he says he has, what do you call it? He has enhanced things. Now he's giving his examples. We wouldn't want that he pays us and then we sell our daughter for him like that. They'll all immediately say no. So now you got they're on your side, right? You just have to keep it going that way. You know, you can't blow it along the line. The son of Pandu also regardeth a self-choice as doubtful in its results, because the Swayamvara is doubtful. So they have to say, yeah, that's also true. Who also would approve of accepting a bride as in gift as if she were an animal? Right, so now this is Kshatriya speaking, right? Because the Brahma wedding is considered the highest, right? But for Kshatriyas, it's kind of like they don't accept charity, so he's putting it in that light. You know, normally all Kshatriyas are getting married according to Brahma, right? But here he's putting it in the light. She's just a gift, like you're giving a cow in charity, you know? So you don't accept charity, so why should he accept charity? It's kind of like, okay. All right, third marriage out, you know? What man again is there on earth that would sell his offspring? I think Arjuna, seeing these faults in all the other methods, took the maiden away by force, according to the ordinance, right? So now he's saying he took away by force according to the rule, right? We wouldn't follow these other marriages like that. And so why would we follow? It means you're not going to, Prajapati, it means, how do you call it? Prajapati, he just wrote off, that's the Swayamvara, where the girl chooses. And then the Arsha and is similar to the Asura, though it's out of respect, but you're giving an animals in charity and receiving the girl, though it's the animals go to the girl, the other one they go to the family, right? So there's a difference, but it's still the same thing. It's like you're buying the girl, so he's written those two off, right? Paisach, no one's going to agree with like that. And then Brahma, he's just written off as giving in charity, and that also then will include the Daiva, because means the priest is the same thing as the Brahma, but it's because you're giving to the priest. At the same time, they're not priests, so that wouldn't even come up as a discussion. So that leaves you Gandharva and Rakshasa, right? And Gandharva is, they don't go anywhere. So here, you know, they've gone somewhere, so then Rakshasa is the, would naturally be by default the last one. This alliance is very proper. Subhadra is a renowned girl. Partha too possesseth renown, right? You start, if you say Partha, he has renown, what do you mean? You know, so start, Subhadra is renowned. Yes, of course. He's our girl, you know. And also Partha. Well, okay, maybe. You know? You understand in here? So you always have to, because you're dealing logically, but you have to get the mind to accept. So this is a perfect example of using logic, but using the Panchanga Nyaya, the logical sequence, but within the area of the mind. So you're always having to do something for the mind, then go to the logic. The mind, the logic. Right? If you're just giving a straight a philosophical presentation, then it's logic, then mind. Logic, mind. In other words, you're giving the intelligence, you accept it, then you go to the mind, how you'd apply it. But here, because the mind's already rejected it, you have to get the mind to, okay, and then you show the logic to it. You understand? It's two approaches to using the same thing. Right? Does that make sense? So Krishna, you see, Krishna does this all the time. He loves to do this, you know. Go into a situation that's completely, you know, entrenched and work it out. Like, when was the last time you did this? Anyone remembers? Yes. Okay, well that's another time. He did the same thing, yes. But this is just very recently he did it.
Drupada's court.
Huh?
Drupada's court.
Yeah, Drupada's court, when they were fighting between the two unknown Brahmins and all the Kshatriyas. Then he came forward and said, hey, come on, they won her fairly, plus they're Brahmins, give them a break. You know? And this whole thing. So they all, okay. And then they all left. Right? So you see, Krishna, he likes to do this. He'll come also as the messenger. Like that, where he does this. So he has fun with this, because in here is that you're using, in other words, this is the serious aspect of chala. Right? It means chala is generally used as a joke. You know, you take the word and then you use a different synonym to it, and then you have fun that way. But that same principle is you take a situation and you redefine the situation. Does that make sense? In other words, in a joke, you're using the chala on the word. But here in the political or in the logical, you're using the chala on the situation. It means, in other words, one person in this situation sees it this way. You say the same situation and show how it's, no, it's actually that way. Does that make sense? So you're dealing with the same point, so there's some commonality that you can actually discuss. You know, like that. Does that make sense? You don't take, it means, in other words, you're taking the opposite position, but you're doing it through taking the common point. It's a, in other words, it's opposite perspective, not opposite position. You're dealing with the same thing. You're actually the same position, but different perspective. Therefore, the position's the same. The other person could also accept it. That also makes it, as we were discussing before, why the false ego doesn't have to get in the way, because they're not saying that your whole position, everything's wrong. No, you're right, but just look at it in this way and it will work better for you. Does that make sense? Right. Perhaps, thinking of all this, Arjuna hath taken her away by force. Meaning he thought of all this. It wasn't rash, because Baladev said it was rash. He's saying, no, he thought of all this and contemplating all this very seriously and soberly as a man of character and a Kshatriya of, you know, high standing. Therefore he did this. Who is there that would not desire to have Arjuna for a friend, and who was born in the race of Bharata and the renowned Shantanu, and the son also of the daughter of Kunti Bhoja? I do not see in all the worlds with Indra and the that's another, next point. Right, it says, who wouldn't want him as a friend? Right, looking at it from the other perspective, yeah, because Baladev just said, we're going to go there and wipe out the Kurus, right? But he's saying, who wouldn't want Arjuna? Right, the other Kurus, that's another thing. But him, he's born in the race of Shantanu. They're the Moon Dynasty. The Moon Dynasty is always subservient to the Sun Dynasty. So then, based on that, is who wouldn't want to be connected with Arjuna? Right? I do not see in all the worlds with Indra and the Rudras the person that can by force vanquish Partha in battle except the three-eyed god Mahadev. Right? So then that's the next point, is that so he's gone to thing, he's done this intellectually, he hasn't insulted us. Then the next thing is that, you know, she has good quality, he has good qualities, and he's considered all this and it won't matter. Then the next thing is, wow, who wouldn't want him as a friend and all that? So he's brought him close like this, yes. So then it's like soft, but then before then the mind snaps again, but then he throws in the but, right? So then he throws in and it says, anyway, who here can defeat him? Right, except for Mahadev, no one here can defeat him. Right, so that basically means between other than Krishna and Balaram, no one else there would defeat him. So hey, why are you getting so riled up? You go out there and hoo ha, you're going to get defeated. So, you know, let's save that one. Right? Then he throws in the next one. Even if it's no, but we're Kshatriyas, we have to try. Then he's going to say, his car is well known. Yoke thereunto are those steeds of mine. Right. So then his Krishna steeds move at the speed of mine, so you're not going to catch him anyway, even if you want to go out and fight. So, like that. Partha, as a warrior, is well known, as is his lightness of hand. Who shall be his equal? Right now, putting that, you can't defeat him, same time he's on his chariot, and he is with my horses. So then putting all that together, now he sums it up here, is that, so who could defeat him? Right? Like that. Who shall be equal? Instead of trying to say everything at once, you say that what's relevant, then go to the next point, then bring out more points later, right? Because that's the difference in a conversation and a study, right? A conversation is you're going from beginning to end, and you're going to have all the information put according to how the mind and intelligence will accept it, right? So that's why the first study of a Shastra has to be chronology, right? Chronologically studying it. Because that's how the mind will accept the body of knowledge. Then you go back and study it point by point because you've already accepted it. Now it's going, you get depth. So you can't get depth with the chronological study. Right? You get a good understanding, you get realization, but that depth is only going to come because, as we see, we want to study how Krishna speaks like this. He speaks like this so many places throughout the whole Mahabharata. He doesn't do it in one place. But by that repetition, after a while, you get it. Because everything's all in one place, you won't catch it. But you hear some of it now, then some of it later. Just like a week's food is spread out over a week. Right? It doesn't happen all in one day. A little bit every time, then it comes. Right? Does that make sense? Even this is my opinion, right? So now he concludes that. My opinion. Go ye cheerfully after Dhananjaya, and by conciliation stop him and bring him back, right? Instead of war. If Partha goes to his city after having vanquished us by force, our fame will be gone. There is no disgrace, however, in conciliation. Right? In other words, for Kshatriyas, that you can fight, but also conciliation is not a... is not a disgrace. If you can work things out by political means, why fight? Because that also is, you're not unsure. Right? And especially he's pointed out here that Arjuna is so powerful that it's definitely going to be unsure that you're going to defeat him. And so if he's defeated you, goes to a city, we're the ones that will look bad, right? Krishna's saying, right? He'll never look bad, but just for fun, right? Have that taste of the ordinary, right? So then, yeah. Does that make sense? So he's saying conciliation isn't bad. So even no matter how much water is under the bridge, if you can work things out by conciliation, then one has to forgive. One has to drop it. Right? That's human life. Otherwise, you just keep going on. That's like a badger. You ever heard of a badger? A badger is this one kind of animal like that. That if you come and let's say you bump into it, you somehow or another make it angry, you step on it, you know, or something, then it will bite onto your leg, right? And it will not let go. You could walk for kilometers, it'll still be like that. It just will not forgive, right? That's the uniqueness of a badger. It just will not let it go. It can't. So, you know, that's the point. Don't be a badger, right? Like that. So the idea is that then, you know, therefore, we'll go, we'll catch, work it out by conciliation, it's fine, right? Everybody, there's a whole big hoo-ha going on, if you're not involved, and then afterwards you say, wow, what happened? Oh, they worked it all out. Oh, good, nice. Right? So it's only your own false ego that you think, no, no, we have to do something. We can't just let it work out so easily. How they're going to... No, that's your own fault. Because if you hear about anybody else, you think, great, they worked it out. There wasn't a big, you know, fight and a big thing. Does that make sense? Yeah. Hearing, O monarch, those words of Vasudev, they did as he directed. Stopped by them, Arjuna returned to Dwarka and was united in marriage with Subhadra. Right? And here it goes very smoothly, right? More religious. In the Bhagavatam, then there's a slight break, you know? First, Krishna says all those nice things in the beginning, and then Balaram again ruptures, you know, out in emotion and, you know, and says, no, but how can I tolerate all this and that? You know, even if it's all done nicely, but still he disregarded us. Then Krishna makes all the final points, but you're not going to defeat him anyway. Plus, he's in our family. He also points out that he's, you know, his mother is one of us, right? His mother's actually a Yadu. You know, so he's actually family. So you're saying he's an outside man came in, but he's a family man. If one of our own boys made off with one of our own girls in a Rakshasa marriage, no one would say anything. They go, yeah, you know, he's got some spirit here, right? You know, but here it's that, and then they say he's an outside guy, he's a Kaurava. Yes, but his mother's a Yadu, you know, like that. In fact, she's, you know, how you say, Krishna's aunt, you know. So then it's kind of like, then they go, oh, okay. You know, then he said, you know, therefore in conclusion, go, conciliation, bring him and everything. So, you know, there was a little bit more of the emotion in the Bhagavatam, more taste there. Like that. Stopped by them, Arjuna returned to Dwarka and was united in marriage with Subhadra. Worshipped by the sons of the Vrishni race, Arjuna, sporting there as he pleased, passed the whole year in Dwarka. The last year of his exile, the Exalted One passed at the sacred region of Pushkara. Okay, so that was 1 year in Dwarka and 1 year in Pushkara. So that means that was then, he had been 10 years outside. Remember, he was 3 years, I mean, some years to get down to Manipur, then he was stayed there for 3 years, then he went out, then he came back and stayed for another so many years. Then he went around and like that. After the 12 years were complete, he came back to Kandavaprastha. He approached the king first and then worshipped the Brahmins with respectful attention. At last, the hero went unto Draupadi. Okay, here's the tough part. Draupadi, from jealousy, spoke unto him, saying, why tarriest thou here? What does tarriest mean?
Hanging around.
Yeah, yeah. Why you're staying here, you know? Why tarriest thou here, O son of Kunti? Go where the daughter of the Satvaha race is. A second lie always relaxeth the first one upon a faggot. Now, what is a lie here? The first one upon a faggot. This is supposed to be tie, unless lie is the old word for it. In other words, you have a bundle of sticks. What?
I thought it might be pie. Because you put a pie upon a fire, then you take the pie off to put the second pie on the fire. Because I went through, there's only a few words that it can be, pie, lie, tie.
Yeah, I don't know, because upon a faggot, it depends. Depends, because if you take a bundle of sticks and you tie the one, no, but when you tie the second one, it makes the first one tighter. So it would have to be something else.
Because a faggot can be a fire as well.
Yeah, oh, it can be fire, so not just wood sticks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
whatever. The point is that when there's a second one, it makes the first one not so strong and all that,
yeah.
Right? Because that's the natural position, right? Because here we're working out the pecking order here, right? Unless the pecking order is in line, then there's a problem, right? Because the point is the second one always makes the first one less, because that's what the latter order is always more important than the last one, or the detail is more important than the general, right? There's those rules of grammatical logic. So using that same one here is that when there's a second wife, it makes relationship with the first one not so strong, right? Because that will be the prominent one, right? Unless you establish it that the first one, that's the rule. The first one is the prominent one. So no matter how many after, it doesn't reduce the first one, right? So that's very important. But she's making the point is emotionally, then there's this point here. And Krishna lamented much in this strain. But Dhananjaya pacified her repeatedly and asked for her forgiveness. Right? So repeatedly, he didn't say, you know, hey, get off the trip or this or that. Point is, you know, this is her mood, her attachment. It's coming out of attachment. Right? One always has to remember the trippiness of women comes from attachment, not otherwise. If they're not attached, they're not trippy. Right? That's it. They just don't even deal with you. So it's like, if they're being trippy, it's a symptom of attachment. That means there's hope, right? If they're not being trippy and they just don't care, then you got a problem. Okay. So she said many, many ways, and he's tried in many ways, and whatever, it didn't seem to work. Returning soon under where Subhadra, attired in red silk, was staying, Arjuna sent her into the inner apartments, dressed not as a queen, but in the simple garb of a cowherd woman. But, arrived at the palace, the renowned Subhadra looked handsomer in that dress. The celebrated Bhadra, you know, she may look nicer, but at the same time, it's a lower status. So she looks very beautiful, but it's a lower status, so therefore you can still relate. So she's very qualified, very attractive, but she's taking a lower position. The celebrated Bhadra of large and slightly red eyes first worshipped Prita. Kunti, from excessive affection, smelt the head of that girl of perfectly faultless features and pronounced infinite blessings upon her. Then that girl of face like the full moon hastily went unto Draupadi and worshipped her, saying, I am thy maid. Right, so why hastily?
There was some eagerness.
Eagerness, but why eagerness is shown? What does it do? If you show eagerness, what does it do? What is it? What position does it put you in?
Lower position.
So yeah. Yes, it puts you in the lower position. As we mentioned before, is the man is not too hasty, right? It means if you're establishing the relationship, he's not too hasty because that puts him in the superior. Then the girl is in anxiety, right? But in here, she's going in, so Draupadi won't be in anxiety, and she is going very quickly. So it puts her in the junior position, right? Like that. Yeah. We're talking about in here establishing the relationship, not once the relationship is there. You know, if you're, you know, pulled back after the relationship's established, then you'll find trouble, right? Like that. Then you're hasty. Right? And she went to Draupadi and worshipping her, said, I am thy maid. Krishna rose hastily and embraced the sister of Madhava with affection and said, let thy husband be without a foe. Bhadra then, with a delighted heart, said unto Draupadi, so be it. From that time, O Janamijaya, those great warriors, the Pandavas, began to live happily, and Kunti also became very happy. Right, Bhagavatam brings out more. As first she said, you know, came and worshipped her and said, I am your maid and please engage me. She was so pleased with their surrender that she said, gave all these benedictions. And one of them was, let you be unrivaled, right? Means no other wives. And then she said, so be it. After she got all her blessing, then she said, I'm Subhadra, the sister of Krishna, right? And then they were best of friends. So they talked for hours and hours about Krishna and all things like that, because Draupadi's a devotee of Krishna. So then they talked for hours about Krishna's pastimes. And then after that, then they went onto Kunti, and then they sat with her and everything like that. So a little bit more comes out in the Bhagavatam there. Vaishampayana continued. So Kunti would also be happy seeing that everybody is peacefully living together, right? Otherwise, how will she be happy? So that, by saying that, means it worked out, right? Otherwise. Vaishampayana continued, when that scorcher of foes, named the Keshava, a pure soul and eyes, like lotus petals, heard that the foremost of the Pandavas, namely Arjuna, had reached his own excellent city of Indraprastha, he came thither accompanied by Rama and the other heroes and great warriors of the Vrishni and the Andhaka tribes. By his brothers, sons, and many other brave warriors, Sauran came accompanied by a large army that protected him. There came with Sauran that oppressor of foes, namely the exceedingly liberal Akrura of great intelligence and renown, the generalissimo of the brave Vrishni host. There also came Anadrishti of great powers, and Uddhava of great renown, of great intelligence, of great soul, and a disciple of Brihaspati himself. And there also came Satyaki and Salyaka, Kritavarman and Satvata, Prajumna, Samva, Nishata and Shanku, Chaudeshna, Jili of great prowess, Vipritu also, Sharana of mighty arms, and Gada, the foremost of learned men. These and many other Vrishnis, Bojas and Andakas came to Indraprastha, bringing with them many nupital presents. King Yudhishthira, hearing that Madhava had arrived, sent the twins out to receive him. Received by them, the Vrishni host of great prosperity entered Kandavaprastha, well adorned with flags and ensigns. Right. So here, he sent the brothers out. Why would he send the brothers instead of going himself? Yeah, because they're younger. They're in the junior position, right? They're the girls' side. They're the boys' side, like that. Also, they're Yadus and they're Kauravas, like that. So, like this, he's doing. But he'll be there to greet them. So immediately when they come in, it's formal. But let's say, you know, if Bhishma comes, or if it's just Krishna, and then they can act as devotees, then they go themselves. But in this, it's a formal occasion. It's the wedding. This is, they call it the. I don't know if going the other way they call it. No, the Bharat is when the boys' side goes to the girls. When it goes the other way, I'm not sure. But you notice the gifts always go that way. They always go from the girls' side to the boys, not from the boys to the girls, right? Because they don't want to make it seem the girls' side doesn't accept gifts from the boys' side because they don't want to ever make it look like they're getting benefits by their daughter. Otherwise, it looks like she's sold, right? So the gifts always go that one way. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. But even in Western marriages, traditionally the bride's family pays for the wedding and everything.
Yeah, the bride's side always pays.
Cultural.
Yeah, yeah, that's the same thing. The bride's side pays, yes.
Next week our school breaks for a holiday, and the teachers were wondering if you could use the last 5 minutes to explain to the students what the purpose of this holiday is. And how to use the time productively.
Okay.
And also that there's no more Mahabharat class until the end of Gopinim.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be Bhagavatam class from 6 to 7 from the 20th of February.
Mm-hmm. Like that. Okay. Okay. So then, basically speaking, is the break is there because of, specifically speaking, the natural relationship between the parents and the kids, right? So that means that time to spend with the parents, that's what it's for. This is not the time, okay, now we're not in the school, we don't have to follow anything, we can go out, be crazy, wild, this, that. You can do it, but you risk losing your focus. And then when you come back, then it will be very, very difficult, right? In other words, the things that you've learned in the school, go home and apply them on your parents, right? You listen to your teachers, now go home and listen to your parents, right? You do service in the school, go home and do service in the home, right? You're not going home that now you're the little prince, right? You know, or little princess. You know, you're going home to be part of the family and do something there, right? Benefit, things you want to study or do, you do it there. This is not the time now to go out, go out, hang out, you know, check out the girls or check out the boys or like that. That's a waste of your time. You do that, then it will take a long time for you to get focused again. And then you just waste time, right? So you should use this properly, you know? Be with your family, spend time with each other, things like that. You have friends, just take care nicely, but use it for properly developing relationships. Don't use it for just being stupid and crazy. There's plenty of time to be stupid and crazy later in life, right? You're only going to be this age now, right? This is the age when you can learn things, absorb things, so do it now. When you get older, it's not the time. You don't have the time. Right? Means you can be here and spend years and years and years studying, right? Adults can't. Right? They can come, They can come to Mayapur, spend a few weeks, a few months, and learn something. Then they have to go away. They can't just sit down. They don't have that luxury. Right? You have it. Use it. Don't waste it. Right? Plenty of other kids have wasted it, and it didn't work good for them. Right? And you don't want to mess up your life, because you mess it up now, it sticks with you. Remember, whatever you do from 12 to 18, whatever is your concentration, your focus, your interests, your values, are going to be your interests and values and your abilities and mentality for the rest of your life. Think about it. Right? It's just the way it is. It's the way the brain works. So therefore, use it in things that are useful. Right? Like that. Don't waste it. Don't do something. Have a good time. Relax. Spend time with the family. Like that. But don't be stupid. Don't be crazy. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Otherwise, it's just, it means, at the end of it, then you'll feel bad, because then you come back to the school and it's then back to the regular schedule, so that you won't like it, you know? In other words, if you don't do any service at home, when you come back here, you're not going to like to do service. But you do service at home, when you come back here, then you'll be happy, because you'll see you do the service. Your parents will actually like it, right? Means parents are, you know, amazing people. They'll like you whether you do anything or not, right? Especially your mother. But if you do something, they'll like you even more, right? Try it, right? It's amazing. If you think it's great going home, and the attention and praise you get from your mother, even though you may be a schnook to everybody else, but you know, you're God-sent to your mother, try going home and being nice, being respectful, being considerate, and actually doing some service around the house. Then see how nicely you are. You know, you go from, you know, how you say demigod to, you know, Lord Brahma or something. You know? So it's like, try it, you know. If you like the buzz of going home and getting that, you know, mom's, you know, how you say, appreciation, try this, you know, if you want to send it into another, you know, whole category, you know, bump yourself up from an ambassador to a Ferrari, you know, like that. You know. Yeah, sadhana, of course, is there. Like that, but that we're going by whatever the family's doing. It'll work that whatever that is. Like that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Is that okay? Yeah? Okay, so this class, Mahabharat, will start again after where we open a few days after Gaur Purnima, and then we'll be running the adults Bhagavatam class. That will be moved from 8 to 9 down to 6 to 7, so it doesn't conflict with the temple program, because starting now, always so many senior devotees come, and they'll be giving classes and all that, and that's so to not disturb that. Then. It depends, because the adults aren't here, but specifically it wasn't planned that there would be. So that means this next week there wouldn't be, but the week after then we'll start.
The 20th
is okay, yeah, from the 20th. Like that. Then that'll start. And then that'll run right through until when the festival schedule starts. Like that. I think up to Parikram. And then after Parikram, then you know, generally then that's the temple schedule. Like that. Okay, so we'll end here. See you all.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jayanita Gaura Premanandi.